The gospel today is from John chapter 11. We are a little bit into the story of the event that took place when Jesus held back from going to be with Lazarus and to help Lazarus and so on. And so that was going to be going from to Bethany. From chapter 11, verses 17 and on. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been already in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you very much for your word. Pray you'd open up our hearts and eyes and ears and minds even more to you in this time. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It was a place and time of mourning, that village of Bethany. Lazarus had died and he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And why did Jesus intentionally delay? Why did he not go right away? Or certainly he knew about it. He did. Some say that it's Jewish traditional belief that the dead person's spirit was near its body for 3 days. So perhaps that's why Jesus waited for 4 days, to show that it wasn't just by chance. It's a possibility. But we do know what the text says specifically. It makes it clear why Jesus delayed. Back in verse 15, Jesus told his disciples, "And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." That's a common phrase that we hear today in this section, "so that you may believe." A lot about belief. First, Martha and later Mary had said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Those words expressed their faith in Jesus as one who could and would have healed Lazarus had he been there. He would have. But that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't his plan. Jesus would do more than that, though. Verses 25 and 26, we hear Jesus answer Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I think that is an amazing thing that Jesus said there. Jesus made claims that nobody else on the planet has made and been in their right mind. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection," he's not saying, "I am the cause of it," or "I'm going to help make it happen." He says, "I am the resurrection." And that he said, "I am the life." I mean, that is pretty serious. He didn't say, "I just help make life," or "I made life," or he says, "I am the life. I am the way." When Jesus said these things, powerful thing he said, because only he could fulfill that, and he did. Verse 35, it's the shortest verse in the Bible, right? Jesus wept. It demonstrates one of Jesus' greatest things that he did regarding showing care for people. He wept. He saw their tears. He saw them mourn. It is interesting, though, that if you look at verse 33 and verse 35, that the word that's used for crying for those other people who were wailing, it's a loud wailing word, and the word that Jesus had, it's a, kind of like a silent crying. It's a quiet crying, quiet weeping. Jesus said in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" We heard earlier that the reason he delayed is so that they would believe. And we hear Jesus ask them, "Do you believe this?" And now we hear that, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" I'm sure they wanted to see the glory of God, and they believed. The belief became evident in their allowing the stone to be removed. They acted in faith. They trusted in Jesus and removed that stone. Therefore, they did see the glory of God. Belief, trust in God, allows one to see the glory of God. It is a hard thing, and it stretches you a lot to be patient with people who don't believe yet, because I remember one time in college, I was talking with one guy about this. I mean, this obviously proves we're created, that there's life, that God is behind it. And the other guy said, "Oh no, it's just by chance, you know." And it's just so frustrating because we can see fingerprints of God all around us. Evidence is proof. But an individual is not going to believe something if they don't want to. If they choose to reject what is obvious, like Romans 1 talks about. Kind of sad, but it's a very much a reality. There's another person that I remember years ago. This is a son of Kent Hovind, but his son is now working a lot in conjunction with Answers in Genesis and so on. And he sometime will maybe share it in a Sunday school, but has a very good short video about how to answer people who don't believe, you know, giving them a proof of God without using evidence. Well, Jesus' prayer, he prayed. It was a prayer of thanks to his Father, wasn't it? A prayer of thanks. He expressed certainty, too, in knowing that his prayer was heard. He prayed for the benefit of those standing with him. Why? That they may believe that you sent me. Here we hear it again. They may believe. That's why he prayed. I've given a plug to this already. I haven't even seen the movie yet, but I trust it'll be good. But it's the one from that appears, starts opening on the 7th of April here. It's the one by Lee Strobel, about Lee Strobel, his life, about the case for Christ. It'll be in Marcus Theaters at West Acres, and I encourage you to check it out if you can. The reason I bring that up is because I was reading just the other day some, not reviews, but some criticisms that people had regarding him. And I shouldn't have done that. I just hate doing that and seeing negative things before you go see a movie, you know. They didn't see the movie, but they're commenting on him and his book. When it comes down to it, you can't make someone believe. You can pray for them. Pray that God will move their hearts. The Holy Spirit will stir them. But these people who are commenting obviously didn't believe. They're the same kind of people, no matter the evidence, no matter the argument. If they choose not to, they won't. Jesus gave a command to Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. Imagine that he speaks to a dead man, and his words have such authority. When he spoke, the dead man had to obey. I really wonder what Lazarus would have said. You know, it would have been interesting to talk with him. Did he go, was he depressed after having coming back? You know, after having been perhaps in the presence of God Almighty, you know, I don't know how that worked exactly, but I tell you what, I wonder what he thought. He'd be one of those people, I want to talk to him. What was it like for you when you came back? He came out and his hands and his feet were wrapped with linen and cloth was around his face. Jesus said, take off his grave clothes and let him go. Jesus could have just, I suppose, vaporized those things and have them all disappear, but he showed that it was the man who was in the tomb who was wrapped up, and they, those people, had to go. Can you imagine? I mean, that would be scary to me. That'd be make me really nervous, because here's someone who was dead. You're not supposed to touch dead people. He was dead, now he's alive. He did stink, but now he does not. And they had to take all his wrappings off of him. And there he was underneath, healthy, very much alive. It's interesting that he told them, take off the grave clothes and let him go, because God does what he does, the miraculous, and then he tells us to do what we are to do. Romans 4:17 says this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. That's exactly what Jesus did. He was dead, there was no life. Jesus spoke it and he came to be. It's like in the very beginning there was nothing, but God spoke and it became reality. In the Gospel of John, the word used that describes this amazing thing that Jesus did is called a sign. A sign. It didn't say miracle. It might have said miraculous sign later, but it's a sign. All throughout John and also all throughout the Gospels, this word sign is used a lot. Signs on a road point to something greater, don't they? In the last year, have you noticed new signs up around the area here that point to this church? Yeah? How many signs are up? Does anybody know? I mean, except for the people who put them up. How many signs do you think there are? Two?
Three, four, five, six.
There's quite a few, aren't there? You may remember. Is it a lot? Eight or ten? Over there, over there, over there. Yeah. Oh, there's some down to the south too, though, right? Signs point to something greater. It says AFLC Church on there with an arrow and a word Bethany. They're very nice signs. The signs don't point to themselves. They point in the direction of how to get to this church, and they are signs that point to something greater. Likewise, when people come to this church, they will see this building, yes, but they will also meet and see the people inside this building and get to know them. But we are not why they come here, we hope. We hope that's not because of a pastor that someone comes to church. It might be because of you or something else, that something initially happens while they start coming, but we pray that it will not be because of that alone that they stay. We pray it will be because of Jesus, that we can be the signs that point to Jesus. We are living signs that point to God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The life is in Jesus. The life is Jesus. The resurrection is Jesus. The sign that brought back Lazarus from the death is basically Jesus. He was a sign that pointed to Jesus. That event points to Jesus, and Lazarus being brought back from the dead. He's only brought back to life on this earth, though, wasn't he? He didn't go to heaven. He was back to life here, only to die again one day. But then, to never die again. Jesus' own words were a sign and foreshadow what was to come. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He is the resurrection and the life so that we would believe. Our bodies will die one day, but one day be raised, all by grace through faith in Jesus. Signs do not equal faith, though. We know that. Signs were asked of Jesus, you know, do a sign for us. And he didn't. You almost had to be there. You couldn't really ask for one because he wouldn't give you one. He'd say, give him the sign of Jonah. A reminder that 3 days he is in the belly of the whale. Well, typically, when people ask for signs, he wouldn't give them, but I'll tell you what, he sure was what everything else points to. Many Jews believed in him. The text says, after at the very end of our lesson today, they put their faith in him. Lazarus was miraculously raised from death back to life. What an amazing thing. I've heard that this happens even today around the world, different places, people being raised from the dead. Happened in the Old Testament too a couple times, at least once, I mean. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus has conquered sin and death itself and will one day resurrect all who place their trust in him. All those who believe in him, Savior and Lord, never to die again. Because Jesus conquered death and sin by his own resurrection and faithfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your conquering sin and death, for your raising Lazarus from the dead as a sign which pointed to you. Lord God, we pray that this church, we pray that ourselves, that we would be signs that point to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.